Dearly beloved, I would that you join me in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, when you get there, if you'll turn your attention to the fifth chapter. We are in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, and we'll begin our reading this morning in verse number 11. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, beginning our reading this morning in verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse number 11. All who have it, say amen. Amen. And the word of God declares, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. All right. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. Amen. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. God bless you. You may claim your seat. I want to speak from the words and the thrust found in this text, our wonderful message, our wonderful message. Last week when I stood before you, I preached on the fact that the harvest was plenteous, but the workers were few. Our focus has been intensely on evangelism. And so even after service last week, of course, we had an opportunity for evangelism training, gospel conversation training, and that was wonderful. And so hopefully you've already put it into practice. But I sense, even since the sermon and the training on last week, that there's still some hesitancy to share the gospel. And I believe that that hesitancy is a result of us not understanding how wonderful the message is that we have to share. See, it's one thing if you were tasked to share bad news, but we have good news to share. And the message that we have, according to the text, is a wonderful message. And so I want to talk this morning about that wonderful message to help us understand just how wonderful it is. And if we understand that better, maybe we'd be more apt to share that message with others. We find ourselves in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul. And among other things, he wants to address, first of all, the fact that the Corinthians have done better, and they've matured since his first letter. They've repented of some things that they were doing. But in addition, he was also concerned to defend his own apostleship. There were some who were challenging him, and that's the first seven verses of 2 Corinthians. So within those first seven verses, the Apostle Paul takes time to, of course, explain not only his role, but our role as ambassadors for Christ. And so he explains that to us, and that God has given us a wonderful message, What is that wonderful message? This is the main point today, and I hope that you get it. God has given us the wonderful message of reconciliation. It's just that simple. That is the wonderful message. It is reconciliation. It is reconciling, bringing two that were opposed back together. That is the message that we have to share. But reconciliation on a human level is not the same as reconciliation on God's level. Because God's reconciliation has a specific meaning. And that's where I want to focus our attention this morning. With God's reconciliation, it means, first of all, that it is God initiated. As you go back to the text, focusing, if you will, on verse 18, it says, all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Let's stop right there. Just I want you to think about that for a second. When God talks about reconciliation, it is God initiated. God didn't cause the split, but he initiates the reconciliation. Okay, in a practical sense. I want you to think about it like this. When you have an argument or a disagreement with someone, and as a result of that argument or disagreement, there's a period of silence that follows. Who's responsible for breaking the silence? There's usually a battle of wills going on. If we just be honest this morning, there's a battle of wills, and you say to yourself, I ain't saying nothing. And the other person, of course, is just as entrenched in their position not to speak. And so there's this silence. But in order for there to be reconciliation, somebody has to break the silence. Okay, you missed it. There was a separation between God and man. The separation was so severe that there was silence. There was 400 years of silence. Somebody had to break the silence. And so God decided, I'm going to break the silence. And so he put on flesh and came to the earth to break the silence. That was God initiating reconciliation. Saying to his creation, although you're wrong, and I know you're wrong, and you know you're wrong, I'm going to make the first move to bring you back to me. And so when we talk about reconciliation, from a human point of view, that could be either party that tries to reconcile, maybe even a third party. But when you talk about God reconciling man, that means that God initiated the reconciliation. What a wonderful message that is. That God wants reconciliation, watch this, and he initiates it. And so he's not waiting for you to get yourself together and come to him. He comes to you just as you are. That's a wonderful message, but there's another part of this message, and you see it there in the B section of verse 19. Not only is God's reconciliation, is God initiated, but also that means that our sins are not counted. Okay, look at verse number 19. It says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. That means our sins are not counted. Okay. One of the problems oftentimes with reconciliation and the reason it's hard to reconcile is that even if you start talking again, you still remember what made you stop talking in the first place. You remember what made you mad. You remember what separated you in the first place. So while you may be talking, your tone might not be the same as it was before that happened. You're talking, but honey, sweetheart, and dear, it isn't said as much. Afterwards, come on now. So you're talking. You've somewhat reconciled, but there's still some residue from what caused the friction in the first place. But when God goes to reconcile, not only does he initiate it, but our sins are not counted anymore. Okay, let me help you. There have been several times, particularly in college, where you take classes, and maybe every week or so you have a quiz, and you have X number of quizzes throughout the semester. And so the teacher says that what I'm going to do at the end is I'm going to drop the three lowest quiz grades. So in case you missed the quiz, that zero would be dropped. But in case you did bad on a few, I'm gonna drop the three lowest quiz grades before I calculate your grade for the course. Now anyone that sees that will say that's good news. That's good news. Now you would think I'm not gonna need that because I'm gonna get 100 on every quiz. But then life happens and that doesn't quite happen for you. So then you think about how great it is that the teacher is gonna drop the three lowest grades. And so look at what the teacher is saying. The teacher is saying, you took the test, you got a grade on the test that you earned. You've earned that. But the lowest ones you've earned, I'm going to take away as though they never happened. And so I won't factor it in to my calculation of who and how well you're doing as a student. All right. God is saying to us that I'm going to take your sins and drop them from the calculation. I won't let it calculate or figure in to how I view you as a servant of me, because your sins won't be counted. In the book Philemon, it's just one chapter. It's a book of just one chapter. If you're familiar with it, the Apostle Paul gives great language to this very thing. As the Apostle Paul tries to work as a reconciler between Philemon and Onesimus, the Apostle Paul says to Philemon, watch this, if there's anything that he owes you, put that on my account. Therefore, your books and relationship with him are clean, because anything that's owed is on my account. Look at what God says to us. You might have committed the sin, but I'm going to put that on my account so that your books are clear. This is why when we stand before God, we can stand before him as one who never sinned, because our sins are not counted against us. He took those sins upon himself. And so when God talks about reconciliation, he doesn't talk about it from a human point of view. And God's reconciliation, first of all, is God initiated. Secondarily, let me suggest that our sins are not counted. But thirdly, and more importantly, that also means that the relationship is restored. All right. Let's go to our text. We'll spend the rest of our time here. It says in verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. God's reconciliation means the relationship is restored. All right, Old Testament book of Hosea. Maybe you are familiar with it, but Hosea the prophet heard from God one day, you need to go marry this woman of irrepute by the name of Gomer. You're going to marry Gomer. Gomer is going to be unfaithful to you, but you're going to marry her because, Hosea, I need to teach you something. And so Hosea, being obedient, goes and marries Gomer. And just like the Lord told him, Gomer was unfaithful to him. And so Gomer's unfaithful to him. And so now their relationship is broken. That's Hosea chapter 1. God then tells Hosea in Hosea chapter 3, now go get Gomer and bring her back home. Now, by this time, She's fallen into slavery. She's somebody's property. So now you have to watch this, go buy her back. So it's going to cost you more to get her back after she cheated on you than it cost you to get her the first time. So Hosea, you go get Gomer. You pay whatever it costs to bring her back. And so Hosea goes to do that. And God says, now that you've done that, I want you to see how my relationship is with Israel. Because you're going to go out there preaching in my name, but you don't really understand my pain. You don't understand that these words that I'm giving you are not words that are just fluffy and light and to be said haphazardly. These words mean something because Israel cheated on me. And they broke my heart, and you need to know what that's like. But watch this. Just as you didn't leave Gomer to her sin, and you went to bring her back, and when you brought her back, you told her, well, we can't keep repeating the same mistake. So now you need to be faithful to me as I'm going to be faithful to you. That's the same message I want you to give Israel. You can't keep repeating the same mistakes. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to pay the price, but you can't act the same way. And so he went through all of that to restore the relationship. God went through that to restore the relationship because God wants the relationship restored. And when God talks about reconciliation, he initiates the reconciliation. Watch this. A foundational part of that reconciliation is not counting those sins against us, and therefore he restores the relationship. It says here in the text, it says in verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As I was praying about this, God showed me, of course, a biblical example in Hosea. But he also showed me something else because some of y'all couldn't connect with Hosea. Because you're thinking, I know God told me to do that, but if I'm going to marry somebody, I know it's going to cheat on me. God wouldn't tell me to do that. You thinking that that's just for Hosea. So you just think that doesn't apply to you. You need special grace to kind of do something like that. And that doesn't apply to you. So then God gave me an example. Maybe you can understand. Let's try this. I want all of us, because I got some teens in here who are already in high school. And so I want the rest of us to go back to high school. All right? So we all going back to high school. You don't have to say what year you were in high school. We just all going back, all right? So you're back in high school, and in high school, you're your wonderful self. And you notice this other person, right? You notice this other person who's the most compassionate, most loving, most righteous, most forgiving person you had ever met. They're also the most beautiful or handsome person you've ever seen. You meet that person as that person meets you. That person then, upon meeting you, decides they want to pursue you for a relationship. And so they pursue you, and you have a relationship. Shortly after the relationship begins, you cheat on them. Your friends say, you crazy. What were you thinking? You cheat on them. Watch this. When your cheating gets discovered, in your pride and anger, you break up with them. So you double down on the mistake. You don't see it as a mistake. You find some kind of way where all this is justified and makes sense. And so you're sitting there alone one day, and you realize you're alone because of what you've done. You realize the mistakes that you've made. You realize how wonderful that person was and the things you should not have done. So as you're sitting there, watch this, you get a knock on the door. The knock on the door is from the best friends of the person that you cheated on and broke up with. They come to deliver a message. You're ready for it. You're thinking, oh, they're about to get me now. And the message that they give is, that so-and-so that you broke up with wants you back. You sit there stuck. You're trying to understand how all this works, because you were the one that were pursued, but you messed it up. And then to make matters worse, you got mad with the person who had never done you wrong. While you're sitting at home by yourself, the best friends of that person come to the house with a message from that person: I want you back. Please come back. Now, for a moment, you might think that you just have it going on. Because for all of that to happen, and for you to get that knock on the door, you're thinking about yourself, yeah, I must have it going on. But then when you come to yourself, you realize that it's not because of you, but it's because of who they are. I'm trying to help you see something. That is exactly what happened between God and us. God pursued us. We cheated on God. Then we got mad at God. And we should have stayed alone. But God sent his best friends, we're going to call them the prophets, to come give us a message that says, come back to God. And it's not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And now watch this. In this whole scenario, as you look at the text, it says in verse number 20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. Watch this. In this scenario with other people, we're the best friends. We're the ones going to people to say, guess what? That person who was wonderful, who was gracious, who was loving, who was caring, wants you back. That's the message we get to deliver. And so why would you not want to deliver a message like that? That's a wonderful message. And so we shouldn't look at sharing the gospel as something hard or something that we should be afraid of. We have, according to the word of God, a wonderful message to share. What better message than to be the person that goes to someone else who does not deserve the grace and mercy of God to tell them the grace and mercy of God is pursuing you? God wants the relationship restored. Look at verse 21. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And so as we look at this text, from the standpoint of us sharing the gospel and being ambassadors, I also don't want to forget the person here who needs to hear that message, that God wants to be reconciled with you. And if you have in your Bibles, that's the end of chapter 5, but in your Bibles, look, go to verse 6. Chapter 6, beginning of verse 1, it says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. So don't you dare hear this and then ignore it. Look at verse 2. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And so if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you heard the wonderful message of reconciliation. God initiates reconciliation. Watch this. Our sins don't count against us, and God restores the relationship. And so now that you have heard this, now that you've heard it, don't ignore what God has given you. Today is the day of salvation. My prayer is it will be the day of your salvation. Amen. And that you will accept what God has generously, mercifully, lovingly given to you. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Every